Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 364 of Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back SA.
Hello.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Exhausted, but other than that, everything is good. We probably aren't going to talk for ages about the Spurs game, but we will do it before getting on to the main event. That I don't think anyone was quite expecting that press conference from Daniel Farke.
No, it's not what I was expecting to come out while I was having my lunch.
Yeah, I was still at work, and I just had it on sort of in the background while I was working, and then suddenly my attention just started going off to the side, like, hang on, that sounded a bit like someone who ain't sure they're going to be here next season, and then the next sentence was even more like that. Oh, right. Yeah, it was a bit surprising, but we can talk a lot about stuff off the field, like outside of the actual players, because Leeds are completely safe in the Premier League and got even further away with a 1-1 draw at Tottenham. Decent performance?
Yeah, I think first half we were... I think they were probably the better team. I think you would probably say that they were quite wasteful. But when you look at someone like Richarlison, it's sort of him just being him. So I think there was probably a couple of times where we got a bit lucky where they should have at least been hitting the target when I think they had a couple of chances that they blazed over. But yeah, I think we did what we've been doing for a lot of this season, is just been able to stay in games. So it's very similar to Bournemouth, I think, where we just stayed in the game long enough. And then kind of, I would say once we made the first set of subs in the second half, I thought it really turned things in our favour. And I think probably the nerves in their team set in a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Spurs looked the more lively. I get the similar to Bournemouth. The difference is, like, Bournemouth were actively really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that one, we were a bit lucky. This one, although they had a lot of it, they weren't, like, ripping us apart or anything like that. Their front three, even though it's definitely good, like, you know, Richarlison, Tell and Kolo Muani, that should be really good. It's definitely less than the sum of its parts, though. Just the form isn't there. Because, like, although they had loads of it, like, you would say that Kinski's save from Roden is the closest either team came to a goal in that first half.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a fantastic save low down as well. Like, he does so well and gets a good hand on it, stops it dead on the line. Bless him, Joe Roden did try a very brief appeal that it got over, but
there was an appeal. One, no, and two, pointless now. It's either going to happen or it's not.
But yeah, it was a fantastic save. And yeah, the first half was 0-0 at halftime, wasn't it?
Yeah, you are not misremembering when the goals happened.
I thought so. Yeah, and to be honest, yeah, you'd probably say that was about right.
Yeah, and then early in the second half, 5 minutes in fact, ball comes out to Mattis Tell on the edge of the box, switches it out of his feet, really good curling finish into the corner. And if you ever needed an indication of what being safe means, I was sat with you in the pub. He scored and went, oh, it's a good goal, that, to be fair.
That is
not how we'd have reacted if we could still mathematically go down. it's a good goal, to be fair, is that?
Oh, well, this is a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you say, and the pun that's been doing the rounds for him is a tale of two halves.
Even though both the good thing and the bad thing are in the same half.
No, I would say, bearing in mind that man put in a fantastic cross for James Justin that was
oh,
very
God,
well
yeah.
defended.
I forgot about that. That got me out of my seat more than our goal did. Because I thought I was certain he'd given it straight to Justin.
The absolute panic on him of just going, It's going for a corner. It's going for a corner. It's going for a corner. Oh my God, what do I do? Smack it across the penalty. Oh no.
Yeah. I am playing on the wing, so I believe I'm meant to cross the ball.
Yeah, so it turns out it was actually a well-defended cross, a well-defended cross there. But yeah, like you said, it's a lovely finish. It's properly top corner, so there wasn't any expectation for me on Darlow making that save.
No, it's just a really good goal.
Yeah.
There's an argument that maybe we could get out to it a bit quicker, but even that, I think, would be being harsh.
Yeah. And I think for probably more so the possession they'd had up to this point, because I think we had struggled to keep the ball up the field more than anything.
Yeah.
I think the game got a little bit bitty and there wasn't a lot of... We weren't connecting a lot of passes. So sort of on that, you would probably say that they probably deserved that lead at that point.
Yeah. Leeds, first change is about 5 minutes later, Strout going off injured to be replaced by Bornau, who I thought did fine. And then 63 minutes is where you get the changes that actually had really an impact tactically. Metcher for Aronson, so we've got two bigger lads up there. And Nonto for Dan James. Dan James, right wing back, might well happen again this weekend. I would rather it did not.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say one. I mean, we haven't really spoken about that. Obviously, the lineup comes out. Dan James is alive again, out of nowhere. Mm. If you're Willie Nonto, what the hell, man?
Yeah, because like,
like it's you not don't just... have your right wing back and you don't have your left winger and you're Willie Nonto, you must be looking good. Ah, come on now. I've got to be one of these two.
And like look, he's not as quick and he's probably not as disciplined. But Nonto is a better tackler than Dan James is. He's probably stronger in a duel. Like 50-50. There's not loads in it, but probably. And most importantly, Willie Nonto has played wing back in a couple of FA Cup games this season.
Willie Nonto has played a couple of games this season, which is still more than Dan James has at this point. I think it's safe to say it didn't really work. Joe Roden got quite frustrated at times, just looking, going, there's meant to be a right wing back here.
Yeah.
It was the frustrating thing because, and again, we've said it for the last 2 years now, Brendan Aaronson will always be in that team. I thought Brendan Aaronson and to be like, I think Brendan Aaronson had nothing of note in that game, and it wasn't necessarily against...
I did have a few beers during the game, but I couldn't really. He put in the cross for the Roden header.
Hmm.
And I think that's the only thing that I could say he did all game.
Yeah, and maybe it's that the situation of the game while he was on didn't suit him. Mm. I get the value of having him on there when you are going to be defending a lot more, but it does mean when you break... I would say if the choice was between Dan James, Willie Nonto and Brendan Aaronson as to who I'd want leading a counter-attack, Brendan Aaronson is probably lower down, is probably bottom of that list of three.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he came off, I wasn't mad at his performance or anything because, you know, he hadn't had a lot to do into sort of going forward in the same way that Calvert-Lewin hadn't had a lot to feed off either.
Yeah.
But like you say, it gives us a lot more physicality when Metcher's there. It's not his best position, but it does seem to have worked quite well more recently when he's been coming on there.
Well, on the preview pod, we argued for this being one of the games where it might be worth starting them both because we thought we'd struggle to play out with the players missing, and there was a bit of that. And I think that we'll obviously talk about it more later, but Brighton are even better at pressing. I would be well up for playing them both and just getting the ball up the pitch.
Yeah.
But Leeds do get back into it after the subs. Jared Gillett. I think it says a lot about a referee's performance that I have seen Spurs fans giving him Leeds as man of the match and Photoshop him into a Leeds kit. And I have seen a Leeds fan do the exact same in a Spurs kit. That means you're a special level of shit referee. Like, I know that everything's tribal online, and I do think we got slightly the rough end of it, but he was just awful in every way. And this was the biggest example of it for me. Ball goes up in the air. Matty's tell. He doesn't see him coming. It's not deliberate. Goes for an overhead kick and boots Ethan Ampadu in the head. It's a penalty. Nothing happens there, breaking up the pitch. And after the initial scream for a penalty, it's you going, well, ref, it's at least a fucking head injury. Stop the game as they're breaking. And he eventually lets them get into a decent attacking position before he stops the game, just to piss all the crowd off more. A cacophony of bullshit.
Because, like, and I know sort of VAR, I have no issue with him not giving the foul because VAR does what it's meant to do with that instance.
I have an issue with him not giving the foul because it's shit refereeing.
In this era of refereeing, I completely understand referees not giving decisions. Because in that instance, I do think it should in theory be a lot more black or white with, has he been kicked in the head? Yes, good, right, penalty. If not, fine. If there's no penalty given, is he insinuating that Ethan Ampadu has dived?
He must be.
That's the only conclusion I have.
Because if he'd stopped the game when he was rolling, when he was holding his head, and not given a penalty, I could give him 1% chance that he thinks Matty's tell has booted the ball into his face.
Hmm.
But as he hasn't stopped the game at all, he can only have assumed that Ethan Ampadu was lying, which is a brave call for an incompetent referee.
It's like, and this is why I think at this point referees should be subject to post-match interviews, because I think he should be made to explain his thinking behind that 25 seconds. But yeah, like you say, he stops play. Everyone's annoyed at him. And then VAR does the check.
It shows one replay and everyone goes, oh, that's a pen.
Apart from VAR and Jared Gillett, who I think, no. In fact, can you show me it from above?
Yeah, the sky cam. Interesting choice of camera angle.
I really don't know what more he wanted.
Yeah, like, after one replay, it was in propaganda, so I can, like, I haven't sorted this out, but I've seen it since. The Spurs fans saw one replay and went, yeah, it's a pen.
He's kicked him in the head. But there's a mark there and everything. There's grass.
Let's have another 2 minutes of this.
Yeah. So, again, not his finest hour, but the justice prevails. Leeds get a penalty.
And it's a really good penalty. Hit hard, side netting. Kinski, who's having a really good game, goes right way, can't get there. It's a good penalty. And then it's sort of weird that obviously Spurs very much need it more than we do. So they are the ones pushing. But it was a little bit Farker. Like, Bergvall for Bentancur, 81st minute. Spence for Doggy, 85. Madison for Tell, also 85. A bit of a lack of subs, but to be fair, looking at their bench, like, there's no forwards on it.
Yeah, they are playing all three of their fit forwards at the moment. So, that's what, like, they've got.
So I have to say I sort of get it. And also, maybe he knew that an 85th minute sub meant that he still had 20 minutes.
Just like,
where the fuck did 13 minutes come from?
Oh, wow. Like, I know, right, if you go through it, the main thing is the VAR.
Yeah, might have been 3 minutes.
There is Strout going off injured.
which didn't take that long.
No. And then the subs. Eight, maybe.
Yeah. Like, well, I think we said it'll be about eight.
Yeah.
And if it had been nine, we'd have probably lived with it. But 13 was, you know, excessive.
Double digits generally from that game was, come on now, that's excessive.
Yeah, it's a hell of a one, but they were pushing, but without, like, I don't remember, like, Darlow didn't have to make, like, a great save at any point, did he?
No, towards the end, they have a few corners, don't they? But it's mostly from sort of blocks and clearances more than anything. Mm. Yeah. I think Longstaff chance aside.
Yeah, Longstaff Fotanacker 93rd minute.
Yeah, I think my favourite moment of injury time is one, James Maddison returns. Please help us, James Maddison. You're our only hope. Yeah. And there's a moment when there's a throw-in, and the camera is next to him, just screaming, "Kev, Kev, Kev!" And Kevin Danto was clearly miles away. Oh, right, you're putting in the box, am I?
I'm the bloke with the long throw, but yeah, you said the biggest chance, decent bit of build-up. James Justin gets on the left and plays a real nice through ball for Longstaff, who, as far as he's concerned, he's done his job because he's scored there.
Well, I would say in that position, if you've gone up and twatted it really, really hard.
And not straight at the keeper.
Yeah, not straight at the keeper. I think you've given yourself a good chance there.
I still can't believe Kinski saved it.
No.
It's the sort of, again, if we weren't safe already, I'd have been like, fuck yeah, how has that not gone in and gone back? In real time, I just went, that's the best save I've seen all season. It's that or that Pickford one at St James's Park. It's an unbelievably good piece of goalkeeping. And sometimes, even when it's an opposition player, you just have to say, well done.
Yeah, like I think we said afterwards, obviously, the whole thing with Kinski was getting subbed at Atletico Madrid after, 17 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And for a goalkeeper, and bearing in mind we've seen goalkeeping collapses.
Yeah. Rehubka got till half time.
Yeah, he got till half time at least. And people were a bit harsh on Simon Grayson for sending Alex Cairns out while the game's going on, yeah. And Kinski's just hooked. Since De Zerbi came in, and obviously Vicario's kind of gone down the route of having surgery, which has ruled him out for the season. So Kinski's in his first choice for the rest of the season. And since De Zerbi arrived, he has looked excellent.
Yeah, I think that Vicario might go back to Italy or something, and they might just give it to Kinski now.
Yeah,
probably not a bad idea. But there was one more bit of drama in like the 103rd minute or something. Madison turns Mechie. Makes a challenge that I wouldn't have risked in that situation, and he goes down. And luckily, because I had my phone in my hand at the time, our podcast Twitter feed has my exact thing, which is as soon as it happened, I went pen because it looked like one in real time, and then it showed the replay from the other side, and I went, oh no, he gets a tiny touch on the ball. It's all right. It was a risky challenge, but fair enough.
He's got away with it.
Yeah, it was a silly decision, but he does get the ball. He don't get much of it, but you don't have to. Only getting a tiny bit of the ball only matters when it's like flying in and putting a load of force into it, which there isn't in this. It's just getting a little toe on it. It's a good tackle. Was a millimetre away from not being a good tackle.
Well, as the conspiracy theory to keep Spurs in the Premier League goes, that despite us questioning the 13 minutes, we seem to get another 2.5 minutes after that.
Yeah, and we made one sub. That's 30 seconds. We didn't seem to be doing massive time wasting or anything.
No.
And obviously they needed a win, so they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where I'm just thinking, you know what we really need here is Carl Darlow just have a sit down. But I don't want to be that cynical bastard. But
just regular bastard will do.
Yeah, but we made it through to full time and got a point in a point that something in the grand scheme of things means very little to us. Would have been disappointing to Spurs and West Ham fans. I assume were elated.
Yeah, they were pretty pleased, and obviously the point, because Palace ended up getting beat 3-0, moves us up to 14th.
So close to Europe.
Yeah, I mean
mathematically, it's.
Yeah, I mean, it, now that we've had two games, it isn't. It doesn't have stupid stuff anymore. Like now, we're 5 points off 10th. Yeah, it's not like before this game where there was the weird world where all sorts of shit could happen. But yeah, it's another good point. Another game that we haven't lost. We've still only lost like four since that Man City game or something. In 23 games or something like that, which is unbelievably good for a newly promoted side. Which is why even though the players were missing and I would have gone to a back four, I couldn't blame Fark for sticking with it. Because just having bodies in defence seems to work.
We have become, and I think as you look through since the Man City game, that we have drawn a lot of games.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the key things is that we've made ourselves very hard to beat.
Yeah. There's only one team in the league have drawn more than us.
Is it Bournemouth?
It is Bournemouth. We've drawn 14, they've drawn 16. But Bournemouth have only lost 7 games in 36.
Yeah. They're a good team.
Yeah. But yeah, it might be that the only way we see a change in formation anytime soon is if Daniel Fark leaves in the summer.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to say right at the start of this that I don't think... I think Daniel Fark will be the manager opening day of next season. I think this is a put a little bit of pressure on the board to give him a decent new contract and to back him and to give him. And I don't like this because I'm quite pro director of football-y sort of things for transfers. Maybe him trying to get a bit more say because he says I have to be 100% convinced like I did when I first joined here. But the quote was, we've fulfilled the mission. We have completed the project. I will lead a project when I'm in charge. You know, it's on me. It's not on you.
Yeah. It's a tough one because one, he says all this in his regular tone. That there is no, he's still very softly spoken as he's saying this. Now the debate is that I've seen in a couple of places is the project complete or is the season objective complete? Because the season objective was finish on 38, 40 points and stay up. We've exceeded both of those.
Because he said establish when he came in, he said like to establish this club in the Premier League, and he said stuff like that again today. And I would argue we are not there yet.
I don't know if you can be established in. I don't know if you can be established in 3 years.
Yeah, you have done a lot of years
now. The one thing I would say to that is, I think he's certainly given us a very good footing for that so far. And obviously we have experienced in the last go around of what happens when you don't follow that up financially the next year.
He mentioned that specifically. He said basically that we didn't keep going. Yeah, this is connected to what we have to speak about, to goals we want to set, processes and what is possible. Possible to keep our best players? Is it possible to bring quality in? After Marcelo in 2021, after Marcelo, we missed our chance to develop and improve. Which is basically what everyone said at the time. Like, you know, he finished ninth in the Premier League with, 59 points? Look, and we signed Dan James and Junior Firpo.
And look at what those two did for us in the Championship.
Yeah. And if you got rid of the last three words in that.
He's absolutely right. Like, you definitely have to commit to spending a decent amount. I mean, I think you have to every year in the Premier League now. I don't think you can get away with, you can't have it both ways. No. There is obviously debates at the moment as to whether you focus the funds on, right, do we spend a lot of money on two players who are going to massively improve on positions we want to strengthen? Or do you do similar to what we did this year, where you have maybe a slightly different profile of player? Or, you know, obviously a lot of what we bought last year or last summer was focused defensively.
Big bastards FC.
Yeah. Now, do we get some expensive big bastards? Do we get some nippy bastards? But they should be bastards. Mm. I think we can all agree on this. Again, is there the threat that we have to sell? Would we have to sell a Stack or a Goodmanson to supplement that?
I think the ones that go, I think Strout's going. I haven't heard a single murmur anywhere of him signing a new contract, and he's got a year left.
Hmm.
And he came in for fuck all.
I'll just get him in to do a press conference. It's worked for Farker so far.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think as we said on the last one, we either have to give Brendan Aaronson a new contract or sell him because he's got 1 year left. And yeah. I don't think he's good enough for the new contract. So I think you've got to try and sell him.
I don't know if Daniel could bring himself to sign the contract.
And, I mean, as much as I hate saying this about playing my own club, Willy Nonto probably needs to leave for his own good.
Yeah.
Just to play football.
Yeah.
And they're all players that are young enough. And weirdly, Valentin, even though we overpaid, because he's got through so much of his contract, they would all be good profits for the books at this point.
Yeah, it's weird to think so. Obviously, Nonto, you would consider a backup player at this point, given how he's been used the last 2 years.
If Farker's staying, that will remain, because he clearly just doesn't fancy him.
Yeah, I think he's grown to like him off the bench these last few months. Like, I think he's shown more willingness to put him on. But yeah, it's not the playing time Nonto needs at this point. Strauch, I think I said to you after the Burnley game, my issue with selling Strauch is I think you would struggle to buy someone of similar quality for what you'd get for him.
Yeah, at specifically this point. A left-sided centre-back.
Yeah, and we still need another left-sided centre-back as well as a backup.
Yeah, we'll have to see on that front in the summer when links start coming out and things like that. But yeah,
but I also don't think those are. Like, I don't think they're generating big fees. You know, obviously, like you say, because they're in. You know, if you're in the last year of your contract and you are a lower end Premier League player,
yeah.
Unless you've had a particularly outstanding year, you know, what, 10 million ish.
I think you'd get more than that for Strauch, but with the way that we've tanked Nonto's value, he might be. They are young as well, so maybe 15.
Hmm.
But like, I think they're both better than that.
Yeah, like for me, certainly Strauch, it makes far more sense to give him a good contract and keep him around, because I just think we will struggle to get someone as good that we, because again, that's the other thing, you can put all the research in, sometimes it just doesn't work out, and you're in a position where you can look at a back three unit and say these three work well together. Unless we are going to sign someone that we think is better than one of those three, and unless we're looking to spend 30-40 million on a left-sided centre back, I don't think we will.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, is that Strouk has only ever played senior football here. He might fancy going somewhere else at this point.
To one of his many home nations.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's off to go play in Indonesia.
I think so.
That's the third one, isn't it? Because it's Belgium or Netherlands, really. Yeah. But, like, I think there's that one. But yeah, we'll obviously this will keep circling back around. But based on what you heard today, do you think this is just Farker putting a bit of pressure on the board? And he is. Because he did get asked, he's still committed at the end, because obviously you would ask that, given everything you just heard. And he said, yeah, 100%. But there's more important things than just commitment. We have to get together and talk about what the plan is and stuff.
I think so. Certainly in England, I don't know. Like, for as good a job as he's done this season, and we have to be honest and say he has done a very good job this year. Like, could we have changed formation earlier? Absolutely. We all know what Farker's like, but he took the step, he made the change, and we greatly benefited from it. And he has shown a bit more tactical flexibility since then.
Yeah, and the players seem well coached in the formation.
The players seem well coached. I think the players like him. I think they are part of a generally very good group.
Yeah. I do wonder if part of it is like Farker going, look, Ampadu's only got a year left on his deal. I like Darlow. He's out of contract. Strouk's going, how many of these? Because he mentioned keeping all of his best players. Like, maybe he's saying, you agree contracts with two of those three. And I'll...
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not the same, but the idea that you can have a really good season and then let's take, oh, I don't know, Bradley Johnson and Neil Kilkenny, where those two had played nearly every game that season, and we just went, nah, we'll let them go.
Yeah.
It's fine, because apparently replacing footballers is easy. Obviously, the Darlow one is a trickier one. Because it very much depends on what your intentions are.
Yeah.
Re another goalkeeper and whatever happens to Lucas Perry.
Yeah.
But certainly Ampadu and Strouk, it would make all the sense in the world to give them new contracts. I mean, Ethan Ampadu, one, I think the way he speaks about Ethan Ampadu.
I'll be honest, I'm amazed the Ampadu one hasn't happened already.
Yeah, like, I think Ethan Ampadu is integral to Daniel Farker, like the way he speaks about him, and I know he generally speaks quite well of players when asked about them. The way he speaks about the importance of Ethan Ampadu playing, tells you how highly he thinks of him. So, and again, the fact that, and again, to go back to the Ken Bates era, you know, how can you say you're ambitious when you're potentially going to let your captain walk out on a free in a year's time, you know, to slightly paraphrase Rob Snodgrass. But yeah, like, the only thing I can think was whether they were holding out for, you know, whether the club themselves are waiting. One, because I know they've said about Farker's contract that they were going to deal with that at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, I do think a lot of it is that Farker's going, no, you know, I've got the leverage here at the moment. I want this done now.
Yeah.
And I think some of the players will as well, because obviously you've got a group of players who've been with him for 3 years now, who I think will have a vested interest in him staying.
Yeah.
And I think that will be the attraction to some of them potentially staying.
Yeah. We'll finish this bit with what Michael's player. Farke has to be careful not to put pressure on the board. It's shown this season if managers speak out against the board, Enzo, Nuno, beckoning Kevin off of the ownership. That is true, but I don't think we're quite the level of basket case of those two clubs. And also, Farke's coming up to the end of his deal anyway, and his stock has never been higher. He will not be scared of Leeds United getting rid of him right now, because he'll get a good job.
Yeah, like, I don't, in terms of reputation, I think he'd struggle to get a bigger job here in England. But I certainly think in Germany, I think he might be quite well considered for a job outside of the top three or four.
Yeah. He also just doesn't seem like the type that's going to worry about that. He would rather, I think he'd rather lose the job at Leeds than stay and have them lose three players he doesn't want to lose and things like that. But anyway, we'll see how he does with none of his players on Sunday. because Gruev is out, Okafor is out, Goodmanson is out, Bogle is out. Even if Buonanotte is fit, he's on loan from Brighton, so he can't play. Not that he would have anyway. Major doubt over Strauch. And I know that every time he says someone's a doubt, they probably play, but this one sounded a bit more like he wouldn't. Ampadu hasn't been training because he's really ill, but if he's even 50% fit by Sunday morning, he will play because it's even Ampadu.
Enough of what's out, what's in?
Jaden Leonu, maybe.
And David Schwimmer?
Yeah. It's an interesting one. Like, there's no point even talking about the Brighton game away. That was the old version of Leeds. That was 4-3-3, trying to play way out from the back against about the best pressing team in the league, just other than Arsenal. Like, you know, that's just not relevant to this. What is relevant is that they're on a really good run of form now. It took them... They had a really weirdly bad run in the sort of middle of the season where I thought my thing of them not scoring enough goals and dropping down was going to happen. But, like, they've won 5 of their last 7 and only lost 1. It's a team in good form that are still chasing Europe. They're 7th. They're only 2 points behind Brighton. Behind Brighton? Behind Bournemouth. These League One clubs, you see, they all melt together. I fancy them to turn up and do a job on us, if I'm being honest. This isn't a pessimism thing. This is more just, I think they're really good and we've got a load of players missing. And if we're missing Strauch and Okafor and Goodmanson, that's the left side. And Yankuba Minta is quite good.
Yeah. Without sort of going through it again, because you can rehash these things, but their ability to turn their squad over and just keep finding brilliant Venezuelans and whatnot that really step in. But yeah, they're like, I think it's the thing I said to you sort of during the season, the sort of club that could potentially lose 5 out of 6, but then they'll go on a decent winning run. And it's kind of what they have done this year.
I just found the bit I was on about, like, from middle of January, they had a run like 6 without a win, losing 4. And they also had another 6 without a win in December. Those were the bits where I thought, I don't think we're going to go down at all, but they might just end up bottom half. And they've just turned it back round.
Yeah, and looking now, so they are currently in the Conference League position. Could catch Bournemouth, but no chance of finishing any higher.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's a lie. Villa tanked both their games and everyone around them tanked their games. They could technically finish 5th, but realistically, 6th is probably as high as they're going to finish. Yeah. So they have something to play for. They play the.
I will say for Villa, they're playing Liverpool in about 5 minutes, right? And then on the last day, they've got Man City. And Brighton's goal difference is 6 better than Villa's.
I was thinking more Bournemouth being the obstacle to it than anything.
There really is a world where that can happen.
Yeah. And you just think the way Brighton play, I think with the squad as it is at this point, I just think it'll be a bit too much for us.
If we had this full team at home, I would fancy us to at least get a point out of it, but it's just the players missing. Like, they're just... having a glance at their team, they're not expected to have a load of players out. I'll say the Bruggen in goal, he's got mistakes in him if he can get shots away. That's one that I wouldn't mind targeting a bit. Their back four is likely to be Ferdi Cagliari on the right, Maxim de Kuyper, who's been in good nick lately. He got 2 assists in the last game on the left. Jan-Paul van Hekker and Lewis Dunk, who's managed to get back in at centre-back. Belieba and Pascal Gross in the middle. Minter on the right. Mitoma on the left, who hasn't been picked by Japan for the World Cup.
He's not?
No. Not injured, just not been picked, apparently, which is insane. Welbeck up top, and the form man, Adam Hinshelwood. playing at 10. By the way, that is the right name, isn't it? That's not his dad's name. Is that Jack Hinshelwood? Adam Hinshelwood's his dad, isn't he?
Yeah.
I keep doing that. I bet I've done that 20 times. Adam Hinshelwood. No, Jack Hinshelwood. But he looks to be in really good nick and looks like a really good player. Obviously, they have a million other players they've got a load of other players that are also good. Not least their best player by an absolute mile, a certain Jorginho Rutter.
Well, I think it's quite nice, again, given that there is nothing at stake at this point, that we can just appreciate seeing Georgie again. Yeah.
Apparently, Mitoma is out injured for this game, but he's expected to be back for the World Cup and he just hasn't been picked.
Bizarre.
Mats Vifa is also doubtful because he's another option at right back, if I want him, and he's pretty decent.
I'm calling regen on Charalampos Kostoulis.
I mean, he basically is. They signed 2 Greek strikers, didn't they?
It's a proper regen, isn't it?
Stefanos Tsimas, I think, is the other one. Yeah. I mean, Solly Marsh is still going and finally fit again, which is nice for him because he was out for ages. But Yasin Ayari in midfield's pretty decent. Veltman's very solid. I mean, Matt O'Reilly, I really like, and he isn't getting a game. And he was out on loan first half of the season. Boscagli, he could play centre-back over Dunk if I rotated him a little bit. It's just a good side.
James Milner appearance.
I would love for there to be an appearance from James Milner. Because it's very rare he's actually got to play at Elland Road since he left, isn't it?
Yeah.
It has happened, but not much.
Yeah. What this needs to be is like both him and Sam Byram come on as we sort of pay our respects to one of them who's going to retire despite the fact that the other one made his debut about 10 years earlier.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because Byron might retire and Milner will definitely keep going despite Milner coming through the academy like 7, 8 years early. Yeah, mental. What are Leeds going to do?
When you look, it's going to be... I'm trying to think how you do. Like, I think Bornau comes in straight swap for Strauch.
And he just plays left centre-back.
Yeah, because I think, like, Biol is but Biol plays best as the central defender, and yeah. I don't want to take away the strengths of Joe Roden. So, yeah, I would rather us have a weaker left side. I think Justin stays there.
Yeah. I think James stays there as well.
I think Dan James stays there as well.
As much as I wouldn't do that. But this is the sort of thing where I'd only say this because we're safe. If their right winger wasn't so good, I would just be going, fuck it. Just start Leno. This is a time when you can.
No, do that against West Ham to piss off the Spurs fans.
I mean, yeah. Whether it's a sort of Georgie off the left or it might, if Mitoma's injured, it probably will be Rutter off the left. You probably don't want to be throwing Sam Byram into that situation.
I mean, for the last 3 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, but not, well, it won't be if it's only for a few minutes. Out of respect, he'll not do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'll be that back three. I think it'll be Roden. Be all born now. Justin left wing back, James right wing back. I still think it'll be Tanaka and Ampadu because I just think Ampadu will be fit.
Yeah, there is a part of me that's wanting Ampadu to not be fit for this because I think at that point you go Stack and Tanaka. And they want
Stacks, Tanaka, Aronson, and then you have Metcha and DCL.
Oh, no, because I think Longstaff gets picked in Stacks' role, and I want to see the look on Willie Nanto's face when he still doesn't get picked in this team.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be much more bearable if you picked Metcha. That would make a lot more sense.
I think
it'd be Longstaff.
He'll do it. I think Ampadu will be fit, but even if he isn't, I think he'd just bring Longstaff in for Ampadu. But I honestly, because of the way I think we're going to play this game, because of how good their pressing is and stuff, I think it'll be Stack off the right, Metcha off the left, Calvert-Lewin. And if that's not working, I think he will just drop Stack in, push Metcha up and just go long. But I've said this before in games where that made all the sense in the world and he hasn't done it. So it might just be wishful thinking on my part.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that two up top never actually happened.
Yeah.
I've never actually seen it.
Yeah. The only prediction I haven't had is Alex's. But I've managed to get him off everyone else. Connie's got us winning 2-0. Benny's got us losing 2-1. Little Danny has a 1-1 draw, as he did against Spurs, as also did you against Spurs.
Yes.
Which pulls you back in, but unless his pre-season predictions were absolutely awful, I think Little Danny's winning. Because he's on like 74 points, which is pretty good going. What do you reckon, Kirsty?
I think we lose 2-0.
Type that again so it doesn't say 902.
That'd be a bold claim.
I'm in a similar boat. I think we're going to stodge this up a bit, but I think that they'll end up nicking it at the end. So I'm going 1-0 defeat. But I don't think that's going to take things away from how the atmosphere is going to be that much. Like, obviously, it'll be better if we win, but I think it's going to be quite fun and jovial anyway. And everyone will stay behind and give them a massive round of applause at the end of it because they've earned it. The only other questions I have, KC, are will a under-21 player make their debut?
No.
Will it happen at West Ham?
No.
Fair enough. Will Sam buy them?
Unless it's Johnny Howson, yeah. No. And I don't think he will either.
No. And will Sam Byram get on?
I think Sam Byram does get on.
I do as well.
Because he has done this before. Was it the Norwich playoff game where he brought Cooper on towards the end of that?
Yeah, to make sure we got a bit of a farewell. I mean, admittedly, we were 4-0 up, which helped.
Yeah. And if we're 2-0 down in this, if we're 2-0 down this one with 10 left. Yeah.
I think a better example is, can you remember the Wes Houlihan testimonial game against Leeds when he was Norwich manager?
Yeah.
I think Byron will get on, especially with us having a load of defenders out. I think he'll get on in some way.
Yeah. Which
and then on the final day, you can just start Alex Cairns. And
no, like we want West Ham to win this one. Don't play Alex Cairns. He's too good.
Yeah, fair point.
The reason he can't play.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to run because I've got something to do very shortly. But that will do us for episode 364 at Mighty Whites Podcast. We'll be back some point through the week next week. My work is a bit all over the shop, so we'll have to just see when it is. But I've been Jack, see ya.
I'm Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.